Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So he dwells in us. We house him. Amen. And out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. From what? From the holy place where he is, the most holy. Amen. So it's not like we're calling him out of heaven. Amen. Christ is in us. Hallelujah. Amen. So as we worship the Lord in spirit, amen, there's a release of his spirit out of us. And when we're all connected and united and singing and speaking the same thing, amen, then there is a explosion of glory, amen, as we unite our hearts together. Because God commands the blessing in the place of unity.
Yes, he does.
So if we pull together, amen, together to seek the Lord, amen, not to be entertained, but to seek the Lord,
amen,
then there will be a greater release of the glory of his presence in our midst, even, because each one of us are a temple, all right? But we're basically, like Peter said, we're lively stones, right? We're living stones that make up his temple. And each one of us is a part of that. And so if every living stone, amen, would unite together with the other stones, amen, connected to the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, who is Christ, who is the head over the church, over, we are the habitation, we are his building. But as we worship in spirit, amen, from our hearts, amen, not from just our intellect, amen, but our intellect needs to submit to the spirit, and we worship in spirit. So the Lord wants to baptize, immerse people in his Holy Spirit. And when you are immersed in the Holy Spirit, out of your life will automatically flow the life of God. Amen. And that's what people need, amen. They need Jesus. They need his life. All right, we can do a little, amen, but the Holy Spirit can do a whole lot more, and we can do. But if we would partner with him, you know, there's amazing things that God will accomplish. Through each individual, wherever you live, wherever you find yourself, in your Jerusalem, that's your responsibility, amen. Hallelujah, we're getting one day closer, amen, to seeing Jesus, hallelujah. It's going to be a glorious day, amen, to see the Lord in all his fullness, hallelujah. No longer any type of fleshly veil, amen. Right now we see through a glass darkly, right? We don't see the full revelation, but that day will be a full revelation. Everything, amen. We'll see the fullness. Hallelujah. And we're going to be like him. How many want to be like Jesus? Amen. Stay in the word, stay in prayer, stay in fellowship, amen. Stay connected to the vine. There's no other way, amen. Well, this is no time to be taking any detours, amen, and worldly detours. God's called us to something higher, something better, amen. We are ambassadors, as sister said, amen, to advance the kingdom of our God in the earth realm. And God empowers us by his spirit to be that, amen. But he's looking for someone who will cooperate with him in his mission. And, you know, apart from him, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us, amen. So God's not telling us to do anything that he's not going to back up, amen. So if you obey his voice, amen, he's going to confirm his word every time. You speak a word, amen, like we had that word spoken this morning, amen. Any spirits of rejection, amen, well, they're not legal, amen. We need to kick them out in Jesus' name. We're not orphans, amen. We've been born again. We are children of God now. We're accepted in the Beloved. And the Father calls us sons and daughters. Amen. Through the new birth. Well, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, have some more. Drink some more. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Ride the wave. Hallelujah. The wave of his glory. Hallelujah. All right. So if you didn't know already, you have joy. And maybe you just need to say, face, you have joy, right? But you already have joy today because you have Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have joy. Amen. Well, I don't believe that. Well, that's why you're not experiencing it. Amen. Faith is believing what God says and receiving it. Amen. So we have joy. We have to believe that. And when you believe what he tells you, amen, you have it. It'll be the manifestation of it. You can have a gift, amen, but you got to do something with it. Amen. You can have peace, amen, because if you have Christ in you, you already have peace. Come on. You have his love in you because he is love and he dwells within us, amen. So I'm loving, I'm peaceful, right? I'm faithful. I'm all the good things. All the fruit is of him because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, amen. We're abiding in the vine. We're like a bottle in a bottle. Amen? Hallelujah. So, life has a way of telling you something that doesn't line up with what God says. The enemy is a liar. He's a thief. So he uses propaganda to try to convince us that we're depressed, we're gloomy, we're broken, we're sad. Come on. It's a time, amen, to rise up out of that and say, no, God says I have joy. God says I have peace. Amen. God says I have his perfect love. God says he has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I have a sound mind. Amen. How about you? You get a sound mind? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when we really believe God, we will obey God. Amen. I heard one amen. But when we really say we believe God, we'll obey God. Amen. So my responsibility is not to sit in judgment over you and compare myself to you. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Look at all the good things I do, how righteous I am. No, apart from him, there is no righteousness. He is our righteousness. Amen. And we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen? But we're not here to compete or to compare. There's still a lot of division, you know. Not so much within here. I think we get along pretty good most of the time, right? Amen? I think we do. I think we get along. We not only love each other, we like each other. That's kind of good, right? And you got both going on? Yeah. At least most days we like each other, right? Yeah. Yeah. So God wants his body to be united, amen, and to put down our petty differences and come under his authority, come under his headship. And, you know, I just need to be responsible for what God has called me to. I need to stay focused on that. Amen. And I'm not going to obey God because my brother and my sister is. Amen. I'm going to do it because it's my responsibility as a child of his. Amen. And I want to be an example. You see, some people, they won't sing unless somebody else sings. They won't pray unless somebody else prays. They won't go to an altar unless somebody else is going to the altar. Well, if you go down, I'll go down. Come on. You know, we can get a crowd mentality even in the church. We just need to listen to the voice of God, amen. That's what God wants from us, is to listen to what he's instructing us to do, amen. If he says, open your mouth and give praise, then we give him praise. Hallelujah. If my flesh says, I don't want to do it, you tell your flesh to shut up. Amen. And you open your mouth and you give God praise and watch your flesh melt. Watch it wilt, wither. Come on, you got to overcome yourself. You got to overcome that part of you that wants to rebel against what the Spirit is prompting you to do. Amen. And so if I need to behave myself, I need to pay attention to my walk. Amen. I need to maintain my integrity. Amen. Because I'm representing the King in this world. Amen. So let's not sit in the seat of judgment and comparison and competition with each other. Amen. But let's do those things that would encourage others to grow, amen, even to good works. And God says to pray for the rain. Well, how many have been paying attention to the fires a little bit here? It's like crazy dry. Well, one of the signs of judgment was famine, you know, and drought. And, you know, I think God's trying to get our attention. Would you agree with me? So we need to pray for rain. Amen. We're praying that, Lord, send the rain. Send the rain. You know, I believe, listen, as we receive the reign of His Spirit, as the church cries out for His reign, for His holy reign, His presence, come on.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's going to influence nature itself. Do you know the land can be defiled by the sins of the people? The land actually can be defiled. Amen? But if we repent and we get right with God and we begin to cry out to Him, call upon Him, amen? Humble ourselves and pray and seek His face. Then He'll hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sins and do what? Heal our land. That means my responsibility is to walk with Him. Amen? In holiness, integrity of heart. Amen? And to cry out. To stand in the gap on behalf of those who have been captured or taken captive by the enemy at his will. Amen? The world does not know any better. Amen? We didn't know any better at one time. But now that we do know better, we're responsible. Amen? To call on the Lord now, to pray, to stand in the gap for those who don't know. Galatians 6:9, how many know this? And let us not grow weary while doing good. You ever felt weary in doing good? For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I'm believing the due season is on its way.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
So we're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep pressing in. We're going to keep crying out to God to have mercy on America. Have mercy, amen, on the people. To open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, to hear the voice, to know, to recognize the voice of the shepherd. We're praying for the glory of God to come in such magnitude that people will be arrested on the street supernaturally, amen, by the Spirit of God just moving upon population centers and people being overcome by the glory, the presence, and the fear of the Lord coming upon them. Where they begin to quake and shake and say, what must I do to be saved? We know where renewal comes from, where revival comes from. It comes from the Lord, amen? It doesn't come from man. Amen? We're just vessels. Amen? But God is the one that revives. So we need to cry out to the Lord. Amen. We need to speak to the wind. Oh, breath of God. Amen. Breathe upon these dry bones. Breathe upon the people again. Amen. Lord, revive us again. Fill our hearts with your love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. We need the fire of God burning in us. Hallelujah. And then we will be the influence that the world needs. Amen. Because without Him, we cannot be an influence. We're just not going around doing good. Come on. A lot of do-gooders, amen, I don't know Jesus. Amen. But we want His goodness to be released out of our lives. We want to love people with the love of the Lord. Amen. Not just our human emotional love, but the love of the Lord that says, I can even love my enemies. I can even bless those who curse me. I can even pray for those who despitefully use me and persecute me. Amen. That's the love of God. That's the love that we want to function in. Amen. We want to move in. Hallelujah. Title of the message today is Pray for Rain. Pray for Rain. Hallelujah. You know, the Holy Spirit is likened to, there are types throughout Scripture of wind, as fire, as rain. And these things illustrate, you know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the wind, you know, the rain, the fire of God, we say. But what we need more than just powerful church services, I've said it before, but we need powerful Christians. God's people need to be powerful. Come on. We can't be wimpy, anemic, right? Limp-wristed. God needs His people to be strong. Amen? And we can only be strong in Him. He is the strength of our lives. As we rely upon His grace, then we can move in His grace. As we rely upon His power, then we can move in power. As we submit ourselves to His authority, then we can move in His authority. Zechariah 10:1 says, "Ask the Lord for rain in the spring, for He makes the storm clouds, and He will send showers of rain, so every field becomes a lush pasture." We could use some lush pastures right now. "Household gods give worthless advice. Fortune tellers predict only lies, and interpreters of dreams pronounce falsehoods that give no comfort. So my people are wandering like lost sheep. They are attacked because they have no shepherd." And for Israel, without the spring rain, there would be no hope of a harvest of fruit of grain. And God was the one who would send the rain on the land. So God had instructed His people, this is their responsibility, is to ask the Lord for rain in the time of rain. We're living in the time of rain. Did you know that? But we need to be praying for the rain. Come on. We need to pray because we're living in a time when God is pouring out His Spirit, but we have to agree with the will of God. We have to agree with the heart of God. We have to get into alignment with what God wants. And God will supply rain in proportion to our prayers. Keep on praying in the Spirit at all times, right? With all kinds of prayers. Yes. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And eventually, in due season, what we have sown, we shall reap. Faith says, "I'm going to believe until I see." Faith says believing is seeing. I see it first. And even before I see it, I hear it. I hear the sound, Elijah said, of abundance of rain. And then he saw something. We're moving into that one. Hallelujah. Well, it didn't look like much, but it was a cloud the size of a man's hand. Guess what? Prepare your chariot, Ahab, amen, because it's going to rain. There's going to be a deluge. Deluge. James 5:17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Why did the Holy Spirit put this in there? So we would have hope. That, yeah, we all know there's clay, amen. There's no perfect vessels here, amen? We're all flawed vessels. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, amen? The excellence of the powers of Him and not of us. But God chooses to use you and I, amen, to be vessels for Him. And He's saying, listen, Elijah's no different. He was no different than you or I today. Did you know that? Well, that was Elijah. Well, that was Gale. That was Jonathan, amen? That was Alina. Yeah, that's right. Just you and I. Who's willing? Who will go? Who will go for me? Who shall I send? He asked Isaiah, right? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Okay, we're going to clean up that mouth first thing. You first had to confess it, amen? But you know, don't wait until you're perfect, because you're not going to get there on your own. Amen. God's the one who completes the work He begins in us. And God wants to use you right now, today, right where you're at. Amen. And He's going to invest in you little assignments. He's going to give you little assignments. He said, now you go and you pray for so-and-so. You give them a call. You encourage somebody. Amen. What is He telling you to do? Well, whatever He tells you to do, He's going to back up. And if we're faithful in whatever he's telling us to do, then he knows he can entrust more to us. Amen? He wants to promote and advance us and our spiritual growth. And as I said a few weeks ago, as long as we're growing, we're healthy. Amen? We need to keep growing. Keep pressing in. There's much more. Don't ever get to the place where you think you've arrived, because that's when you begin to sit sour, right? And sit soaking sour. So what happened? It says he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he did what? He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So, would you agree with me that it is actually God's will to pour out the rain of his Spirit? Yeah. So ask the Lord for rain when? In the time of the latter rain or the spring rain, in the season of rain, ask the Lord for it. We're living in that time where God says, I'm pouring out my Spirit, but you've got to pray. Come on. We've got to assemble. We've got to call out, cry out for God. Amen. That he would rain on our land, the rain of his Spirit. And when hearts are transformed, minds are renewed, souls are restored, then the land will respond in order. Do you want to see change? It begins with us. Amen. Oh, those people over there doing this and doing that. Let's just say, Jesus, what are you doing? I want to find out what you're doing, and I want to do that. And if we would just pay attention to what the Lord is doing, partner with him and do what he tells us to do, come on, the people that are over there doing those things can be changed as well. Because the church will have that influence, such influence, that people are going to look at your life and say, there's something different about you. And whatever you have, I want. Come on. There needs to be some fruit, amen, some evidence of the fruit to such a degree that people are saying, I don't know what it is, but I want it. You and I are living epistles, aren't we? We're ambassadors. We're representing Jesus. People are reading us. Come on, they're reading our lives. Sometimes you're the only Bible that somebody's going to see. Amen. So I want to make sure that I'm going to be an influence for Jesus. Amen. And I can't be an influence for Jesus unless I'm influenced by Jesus. Unless I've been with Jesus, I can't be an influence for Jesus. Unless you're abiding in him, unless you're crying out, unless you're praying and seeking his face. Amen. You're not going to be much of an influence for Jesus. Amen. Why? Because the power is of him and not of us. How many ever had one of those glow-in-the-dark crosses when you were a kid, or those little toys you could get in the, they're probably toxic. I don't know. You get them in the cereal box, but but you'd put them in the light, amen, and then you stick it up on your wall and it would glow. And, you know, I think about how, that's how it is we're really looking to the Lord, amen. We will, right, glow for him. We will reflect his image. But after a while, that thing would get dim. Amen. I used to have one of those, it was a little cross thing, and it was glow in the dark. So we would put it up on the light and we'd turn the light off. We're like, oh, isn't that cool? Amen. But then again, after a little while, it would fade. And so what do? We'd say, well, let's recharge it. You feel like you're fading. I think you just need to get recharged. Amen. Again, everybody here beside me ever feel like you've been fading? God doesn't want us fading. He wants us glowing. Amen. He wants us shining our light for him. Hallelujah. But we're living in that time, I believe, where God is pouring out his Spirit. And maybe you're here today and you feel, you know, I'm just living in a dry place right now. But listen, God's refreshing will come to your life. Amen. All right, if you continue to hope in him and you don't give up. Elijah earnestly prayed for rain. New Living Translation says Elijah was as human as we are. He's as human as we are, right? He's as human as we are. And he prayed earnestly, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. I like to liken this, as we pray, as we praise, as we give God honor and worship and gratitude, gifts of thanksgiving, amen? As we offer our lives back to Him, it's as a sweet, fragrant offering to Him. Do you know, we can come before Him with words. That's something we can bring to Him, amen? And words of gratitude, words of thanksgiving, words of praise for His goodness. Remember, thanksgiving keeps the door of favor open in your life when you have a right heart, a heart of gratitude. And as we are sowing in the Holy Spirit, amen, what happens is we're creating a cloud in the spirit realm. Come on. But we've got to be sowing in the Spirit and praise and worship, amen, intercession. Even prayer, God says it's like a sweet, fragrant offering. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what that table of incense was all about. As the priest would go and he would offer intercession. Amen? As the sweet, fragrant offering of the incense went before into the nostrils of God. Are you seeing that? And so we also were bringing offerings of thanksgiving and praise today to God. And we're sowing. And we continue to sow. Amen? Because the clouds are getting heavy, if you will, in the spirit realm. Amen? And so don't give up. Keep on sowing. Amen? In the Holy Spirit. And in due season, it's the time of God. Amen? God knows the time and the season. Amen? Our responsibility is to sow. Amen? In the Holy Spirit. And in His appointed season, He will release all that we have sown back to us. Amen. And as we are refreshed in Him, we will be an influence in society. Come on. That's what people need. They need, amen, Christians that are on fire for Jesus. That's why God hates lukewarmness. Amen. It does not represent who He is. We know if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Amen? 1 John 5:14. So what is God's will? Well, God's will is to bring revival. God's will is to heal. His will is to restore even our land. I believe God wants to save America. I'm not getting on the bandwagon where those are just kicking it down. I mean, are you hearing me? Kicking America while it's down. I say, no, I'm going to stand in the gap for America. I'm going to believe, amen? I'm going to cry out to God, amen? Until we see the goodness of God in the land of the living, the manifestation of His Spirit and of His power, we need a sovereign move of God that's going to rock this nation, amen? And those politicians are going to fall on their face before God and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. It's easy to criticize, amen? Why don't we just pray and seek the Lord and cry out, amen, for those people who have been captive to the enemy, who are so blind they can't see. I once was blind, but what? Now I see. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody reached out to me. How about you? Thank you, Lord. It's God's will to bring the refreshing. Lately, I started rehearsing in my mind some of the stories I heard of Azusa Street, which was this great, really revival at the turn of the century, of last century. And I looked up a little article on it, and I wanted to share with you. And this is really about a man. He's a black man named William J. Seymour. He was blind in one eye. And he was a disciple of John Parham, and he had been basically rejected by the ministers, you know, discriminated against because he was black. And yet he did not quit. He continued, amen, to follow these people and to inquire about their God because he saw something that he wanted, and he overcame. And so he pressed in. And he began to pray and to pray and to pray. And one of the greatest revivals, amen, ever broke out in Los Angeles, California. The Azusa Street Revival was a glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit that began in Los Angeles, California, in April 1906. And the beginning meetings ran 7 days a week, almost around the clock. William J. Seymour, an African American, led the great revival. Services continued at the 312 Azusa Street Mission, even after the death of the pastor in 1922. And this is a testimony of a guy named Frank Bartleman. Brother Seymour generally sat behind two empty shoeboxes. This was just a warehouse. And they sat on tobacco boxes, one on top of the other. He usually kept his head inside the top one during the meeting in prayer. So he had his head inside a box. There was no pride there. Somebody say there was no pride there. The services ran almost continuously. Seeking souls could be found under the power almost any hour, night and day. The place was never closed or empty. The people came to meet God. He was always there, hence a continuous meeting. This is my heart. This is my prayer, Lord, that we'll have such a habitation. Come on, even in the Northwest. Hallelujah. That we're just going to stand back and watch. We'll be on our face. The meeting did not depend on the human leader. God's presence became more and more wonderful. In that old building, with its low rafters and bare floors, God took strong men and women to pieces and put them together again for His glory. Self-importance and self-esteem could not survive there. Somebody say amen. Amen. The religious ego preaches its own funeral sermons quickly. God wants to revive His people in our generation, I believe. He wants to save. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. He wants to deliver people. Amen. Set people free. But there needs to be a hunger for a revival. And as we consistently sow in prayer and praise and worship, the Lord will pour out the refreshing rain of His Holy Spirit. We are enjoying the presence of the Lord here in our meetings. Amen. But there's much more that God wants to do. Are we willing to seek Him for that? Are we willing to press in and believe for a greater glory? Amen. To where we're just kind of sitting around and saying, God, You're in charge. Come on. I've heard other stories that the glory of the Lord was so rich that it was the cloud of glory that just rested in that place continuously. The glory of God came down and rested in that place, and the children would play in the glory. That's what we need. We need our children saved. We need our youth saved. We need our nation saved. We need a move of God, such a glory of God, that people come in to His presence and they're never the same. They're changed forever. Strong men and women would come to these meetings and they would leave transformed. God would take them apart, amen, and put them back together in right order. The children, that says they would play, and you could see they would push up on the glory of the presence of, and it would just like ebb and flow in that place. And they would dance in the Spirit. God told Israel, pray for rain in the time of rain, that He would cause flashing clouds, amen, and it would bring the refreshing rain of the spring. Because without that rain, nothing's going to grow. There's not going to be any harvest. There's not going to be any fruit. And the same thing is true for us. And even for this nation. And this nation will not be saved except God intervene. Do you get it?
Yes.
So we've got to get serious about this. And quit playing church. Not that you are. But if you are, quit playing church and start being the church. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants our lives to be filled and overflowing for Him. He wants us being influencers. Amen. We're supposed to be the head and not the tail. Amen. Greater is He that's in us and He that's in the world. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, seek His face, amen, and turn from their wicked ways. Come on, church. The church needs to quit fighting among itself. Amen. And pull together and cry out to God in heaven who alone can save. And He can bring such a move of His Spirit that even the most obstinate and stubborn can be broken and brought to pieces, amen, so God can restore them. Israel, no different than America. They were turning to idols, to psychics, to fortune tellers. Why? Because there's no power. Why is it people get into that stuff? Why? Because so often the church is anemic. We're just playing church. Come on. I don't want to be that. I don't want my life to be that. But churches, amen, what we call the church, amen, is made up of individuals. Come on. So I am personally responsible for my own walk. I can't do that for you and you can't do it for me. Amen. But if each individual, each one of us will seek the Lord, draw near to Him, cry out to Him. Amen. And let our lives be an overflowing cup. And then when we come together, it's glorious. I always say this, but I say, amen, be ready when you come. Be prayed up before you come through those doors. Amen. Don't wait till you're out of gas, amen, and come and get a fill-up. Get filled up every day, amen. And then when you come through the doors, you're already filled. You got something to offer, something to pour in, amen. Through the corporate experience we have together, each member is doing its part, amen, in edification, building up the body of Christ in love, amen. So as Israel of old, they needed to be revived, amen. They needed to cry out to the Lord in the time of rain. And of course, metaphorically, right, speaking, because today we're crying out for the rain of heaven, the rain of the Lord, the rain of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 10:2, for the idols speak delusion, the diviners envision lies and tell false dreams, they comfort in vain. And why are people, again, running to these things? Because they're not finding answers so often in the church. Come on. We have the answer. Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. You don't need psychics, amen. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the authentic. We have the real. We don't need to go to the counterfeiters, amen. The Hebrew word for idol here is teraphim. And these are like household idols. I thought about, what would a household idol be today? You know, back then they probably had these little statues in their homes, household idols that they prayed to. Well, we're too sophisticated today, amen, to talk to an idol. So we bow down to our television sets, our tablets, that will speak delusions and false dreams and offer us escape from reality. Don't get quiet on me now. And children can get their lessons in sorcery and witchcraft through their phones. How convenient. Through their tablets. Cartoons they watch. Even the books they read in school. Thank you, school system. And even within some churches, undercover witches, fortune tellers are running loose. Because there's a lack of discernment. Why? Because there's a lack of oil. Because people's eyes are not open because they're not abiding in the Holy Spirit like they should be. Come on. And if we don't continue to abide in Him, we can easily become blind. And the enemy is a counterfeiter and he's pretty good at it. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit and we're not in tune with the Spirit of God, we can easily be deceived by an imposter presenting themselves as a servant of the Lord. And people are quick to run to have anybody lay hands on them. They don't know who they are. Israel had been led astray. like a flock of sheep, by those who claimed to have a word from the Lord. How many know there's nothing new under the sun, as in Jeremiah's day? In Jeremiah 23:21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, verse 22, if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have done what? Turned them from their evil way. Instead, we're coddling people in their sin. Well, I don't like that church. They make me uncomfortable. I'm going to go over to this one that tells me everything I want to hear, not what I need to hear. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would lead us into truth. Amen? All truth. How many know God loving you when He's speaking to you, when He's correcting you? Amen? You love your children, you correct your children. You're not being mean. You're loving them. It says in John 16:8, when He has come, the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So whenever the Holy Spirit is present, there will be a conviction of sin. You know, a lot of times, I don't even have to say anything. All we need to do is host the presence and seek the Lord, worship the Lord. Amen? And the Lord begins to deal with hearts. Because the light is coming on. Amen? It's like, feel like a cockroach. Where can I hide, right? Either you're going to run out or you're going to run to Jesus. Hopefully you run to Jesus, right? But you have the same thing going on today. Self-appointed. People that are selfishly ambitious. They're representing their own interests. And even some people, as you know, it's no mystery. They think that the gospel is just a means of an income. It's just another career choice. No, if you're not called to this, don't do it. Amen. If you're a child of God, you are called. But not everybody's called, amen, to pastoral or the fivefold. But everybody is called to serve Jesus. Amen. And that means He gives us authority over sickness and disease and demons. Amen. And as God's people, that means every one of us here, if you're in Christ today, amen, you have been called to partner with Jesus and to be about His business and destroy the works of the devil in your life, in your family, in your community. Come on, God has given us that authorization to go in His name and represent Him here in this world, amen. Now, we can't do that if we're spiritually weak because we're disconnected and we've got other things, other idols that are choking the life out of us, come on, and we're not giving the attention we need to the most weightier matters of our soul, and that is that our spirit is strong in the Lord. Because Jesus said again, without me, what? You can do nothing. Yeah. People have learned how to flatter. They use flattering speech, and they deceive the vulnerable and the impressionable. Sometimes even with false hope. You know, people have learned, even within the church, you see it, that if I say this, this is going to be the reaction. This is going to be the response from this person. And some people have used this flattery as a means of control over other people. Come on. I want to be around them because they say good things about me. Now, I'm not saying we go around saying nasty things or mean things, amen? But we need to speak the truth, amen? And sometimes the truth is not convenient. It's not. Sometimes there's some pain in the offering there, amen? But because we love, we care enough, we speak the truth, amen? We do it with gentleness and respect, but we need to be firm. We need to let people know, hey, if you're out of line, get back in line. Aren't you glad that God does that for us? Because He cares. We know this so well. God is not willing that anyone should perish. Anyone. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God wants to send revival. But He won't until His people humble themselves and pray. A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you that we can no longer role play. Amen. No more facades. No more pretending. No more pretending I'm all that when you're really not. Come on. I want to be all that, but I can't without Him. He makes me all that. But I don't make myself all that. He makes me all that. So we got to be authentic. We got to be real. We just got to say, Lord, keeping it real, right? God, whatever you need to do, do it. Amen. I want to burn for you. I want to be on fire for you. Lord, I don't want any idols. I don't want anything taking your place in my heart. Amen. So that I can be a vessel for you. Amen. In this world. And listen, it's not just for us. It's not just for our benefit. But it's for others. I have to guard myself. Amen. Because what I do influences other people. What you do influences other people. So I need to behave myself. Amen. Because I don't want to cause anyone to stumble. Is that right? Because we love. Amen. We do what's right. We don't always do what feels good, but we do what's right. We talked about that this morning earlier about, again, you don't just go to work because you feel like it, but because you need to. Amen? Because it's the right thing to do. Amen? And we don't just pray because we feel like it, but because we need to. Because without Him, we can do nothing. Prayer is your lifeline. You can't say you have faith if you don't have a prayer life. Because if you really believe God, you're going to seek Him. If you really believe God, you're going to keep asking. If you really believe God, you're going to knock. Amen? Until the door is open. God, we're saying, bring revival to the Northwest. Bring an awakening to the Northwest. Lord, pour out your Spirit. Lord, wake us up. Wake up your church. In America, wake up your church in the Northwest. Lord, break down the walls of division between your people, Lord, and bring us together, hallelujah, that you'd raise us up as a mighty army. Lord, that you would call in your breath, hallelujah. From the four winds, we call in the breath of God to breathe upon the dry bones. God, that you'd resurrect us, revive us, and strengthen us. By your Spirit, raise up an army, Lord. God said, my anger burns against your shepherds. I will punish these leaders. For the Lord of heaven's armies has arrived to look after Judah, his flock. He will make them strong and glorious, his flock, like a proud war horse in battle. This is what really burns right here. You see, as Israel of old, God will eventually judge all false prophets and pastors. I take this seriously. And he's going to intervene. He's going to intervene on behalf of his people. Why? Because Jesus is coming for a glorious church. He's going to have a holy church. He's going to purify his bride. Amen. If it means he has to remove some people out of positions and rearrange things, he'll do it. But I don't want to be one of those. I want to be in the appointment of God. I want to be in the placement of God. Amen. I want to be doing what the Lord has asked me to do. And I pray the same for everyone here. Amen. We're going to be on assignment with Jesus every day. We don't want to miss out on the move of God. We don't want to miss out on what God is doing. I want to be right in the middle. Amen. Of this move of God. Hallelujah. As he pours out his Spirit. Hallelujah. On all flesh. What is Jesus doing? He's transforming his church into war horses that will trample the enemy by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to make them strong and glorious like a proud war horse in battle. War horses are mighty and they overcome their enemies. So we need to ask the Lord for rain. Zechariah 10:5, they shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight because the Lord is with them. And the riders on horses shall be put to shame. The enemy's camp will be put to shame as God's people rise up. Amen. In the strength of the Lord, in the might of the Lord. The riders on horses are those spiritual enemies, the demonic forces that we contend with. Amen. Why do we need to ask the Lord for rain? Because He told us to. Because just as crops in nature cannot survive without water, neither can you and I endure the dry seasons and bear fruit without the rain of His presence. Because without the rain, we wither and are trampled by our enemies. Without the rain, we wither and we're trampled by our enemies. But God says, you are a war horse. Amen. He's making His people strong in battle. God has called you to be a war horse for Him. A war horse was trained to charge in battle. A war horse was trained to do what? Charge. Not retreat in fear, but to charge in battle. Anybody watch the War Horse movie a few years ago? World War I? And again, guys, we need more than just powerful services. We need more powerful Christians. And we need to adopt the attitude of Elijah, who would not quit. He would press in. He would continue to sow. Amen? Until he received the answer. There was the sound of abundance of rain. Amen? And then he saw the cloud the size of a man's hand. And he knew it was a sign, amen, that the rains were coming. I believe the other night we had a word about the cloud the size of a man's hand. It's there. It's a promise. It's coming. So pray, cry out in Jesus' name. Lord, send the rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates. It will rain in the place where the diligent prayer of faith is being offered. It will rain in the place where sacrifice is offered to God, gifts, thanksgiving, praise. It will rain in the low places of the valley, the humble heart, the poor in spirit. It will rain where there's a thirst for His presence. It will rain in the heart that is willing to move with Him. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of rain. We are in that season. We're in that season. And I say, let it rain. Would you sing with me? Let it be our cry this morning.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Jesus. Jesus, Lord. gates of heaven. Let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. Let it rain. Hallelujah.